really like coming up here and talking to you folks. No, I'm going to tell them this. They need to know this. It's not emotional. I do get emotional when I talk about members of the body of Christ. I treasure you more than ever. And part of it has been in the last 2 years, the agony of being shunned, being rejected, being left. And I treasure you more than ever. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. I am glad you're here. I love coming up here talking to you. It's like you're here in the room with me. I'm up here in Studio 410B, otherwise known as Clyde Lynn Pilkington Jr.'s bedroom. No, he's the third. He's not junior. He's Clyde Lynn Pilkington the third. He thinks it's his bedroom. That's not. It's a studio. But I love coming up here. And I'm hearing from a lot of you, and I want to hear from more of you. I will read your letters. Tell me you're listening to the show, because it not only helps me, but when I read your letters, other people really get excited about it. And I'm going to read a letter that I got on the heels of the letter I read yesterday. This thing just keeps growing. It keeps going. And I have a feeling there are many of you out there, maybe hundreds, who are listening that I never hear from. And, you know, I'm going by faith here. If I'm talking to one person, I'm going to do it the same way. I'm going to do it with the same passion, the same interest, the same compulsion. I have to do this, whether there's one person or 1,000 out there listening. But if you're listening to this show and you like it, write to me. Just tell me you're listening. Some people say they put the show on their iPods, whatever, play it in their car. And I just love to hear that. And if it's a great letter, I'll read it. I won't mention your name, don't worry. So yesterday I was reading a letter from Sarah, and we were talking about NDE, near-death experiences, which I'm going to tell you what I think about them here in a second. Let me get back to the letter from Sarah, because she really makes some great points at the end of this. Remember yesterday she said that the fact that while you're unconscious, you don't go wandering about in your spiritual, your spiritual self doesn't go wandering throughout the universe while you're asleep. That was proof to her that death really is unconsciousness, because sleep is offered by our Lord as a parable, as a metaphor of death. He said that Lazarus was asleep, and his disciples said, well, we'll wait until he wakes up, then we'll have a chat with him. The Lord said, no, he's dead. So sleep is a beautiful metaphor. Now, this is again from Sarah. On a different note, it also occurred to me that sleep is a shadow of resurrection. Every night for a time, I don't exist, at least not the way I do when I'm awake. And that's true. Isn't sleep a weird thing? We all take it for granted. But why does God do this? He could have us conscious all the time. I always ask these questions, and Sarah is answering these questions for us. It's like, why does the sun appear to go up and come down? Go up, comes up, and goes down. Because it's a picture of resurrection. It's a picture of good and evil, that good always overtakes evil. The day follows the night in the Jewish time scheme. Day follows night. You don't have the night first, or you don't have the day first, and then you look forward to the night. No, the Jewish day starts at sundown, so that's the way it's supposed to be. The night, then the day. And every morning that sun comes up, there's a resurrection. The seasons, it's a picture of, big-time picture of resurrection on a larger scale. Death during the winter, resurrection, spring comes, flowers, grass, in the summer. So sleep, every night, there's a picture that God can preserve you. Now here's the thing, when you turn off your computer, or you put it on sleep, you can make your computer sleep, right? You have a little sleep setting, or you can turn it off. Now when you turn that thing back on, you're trusting, you're hoping that all your files are still going to be there. And to me, it's a small miracle. Every time I turn my computer back on, that the files are still there. I'm always quite excited about it. And I'm also excited to wake up in the morning. I am. You open your eyes, and for a while, you don't realize who you are, where you are. I've traveled a lot last year, and I remember a morning in Mississippi, I woke up and I didn't know where I was. It's like, where am I? Is this Pennsylvania? Is this Las Vegas? Is this Florida? And I was in Mississippi, and it's so weird, but you eventually comes back to you, and that's preserved. Isn't that interesting? That's what Sarah's saying here. Every night for a time, I don't exist, at least not the way I do while I'm awake. I am gone and unconscious of everything, and then in the morning, God rouses me, and I come back. And it's so true. And this is what she says. If he can bring me back from nothingness every morning, then certainly he can do it after the sleep of death too. Huge truth. Thank you, Sarah, for bringing us this truth. I love this truth. Sleep is a picture of that. And really, we go to sleep and we trust God because it's just a short time period. But crikey's, folks, you don't know if you're going to wake up. You don't know if you're going to wake up. We all say the greatest way to die in this world would be in our sleep, because you don't even know you're dying. Next thing you know, you wake up, you think it's morning. Ah, no, it's 300 years down the road, and you're being snatched away with Christ. And this is a different morning. Yeah, it's a different morning. 300 years went by, or 1,000 years went by. Isn't that something? The saints back in the day, back in Paul's day, they fell asleep, literally. They went to bed. They were sick, let's say. They died in their sleep. When they wake up at the snatching away, they're going to think they're going to see their room. They're going to think they're going to smell the bacon cooking, smell the coffee, but they're not. They're going to wake up to the snatching away of the Lord, because there is no passage of time in the death state. And you trust God when you go to bed at night and you wake up, and it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. You are just unconscious. You are unaware of what was going on. Or as Sarah says, every night for a time, I don't exist, at least not in the way I do when I'm awake. I'm gone, unconscious of everything. The first miracle is God keeps your organs going, your heart, your lungs, your breathing. You breathe unconsciously, and it's a miracle. It is a miracle. No, it's not, Martin. It's caused by muscles. Yeah, okay, whatever. But nobody knows how the muscles do that. Nobody knows how the electrical currents go to the brain, how the brain signals the heart to keep beating when you're unconscious of it. It does it during the day, for that matter. But during the night, you know, you do have a near-death experience every night at 4 a.m. 4 a.m. is called the blue hour. The blue hour is when your body temperature is at its lowest. Your heart rate is at its lowest. And it's the nearest you come to death during the night. Everything slows down the same as it does when you're about to die. And then after the blue hour comes this thing slowly warming up, and the circadian rhythms take over, and you start to become awake. And this is a picture for us of resurrection, that God is able to resurrect. So if you trust him for 8 hours or 6 hours, or some of you, God help you, get only 5 hours of sleep, then you can trust him with the big sleep, and the big sleep is death. Can you trust God with death? Because that's a real big chunk of scary unconsciousness. And some people even are afraid to go to sleep, especially when they're sick. They're afraid to go to sleep because they think this is it. This is it. I'm never going to wake up. Oh, but you will. Maybe you won't be in your room. You could die in your sleep, and they crate away your body, and they have a funeral, and they cry, and they put you in the ground, and 300 years go by, and as far as you're concerned, when you wake up, you're still in that room, even though the people who buried you are 300 years in the grave. Isn't that amazing? But God proved, he has proven to us by resurrecting several people in the Bible that he can do it. And that when you wake up from the sleep of death, you are going to remember everything just like you do when you wake up in the morning. There might be a brief little, where am I? But something tells me no. Something tells me this is a little more sophisticated. Something tells me the resurrection of the dead and the snatching away of the body of Christ is a little more sophisticated than waking up from 6, 7, or 8 hours of sleep at night. And you're going to remember everything. You're going to remember your name. You're going to remember who you are. You're going to remember the room you were in when you died. You're going to remember your loved ones, your experiences, and you're going to remember the longing you had in your heart for Jesus Christ. And then you're going to turn and you're going to see him. And you have to retain these past experiences in order to see him and fall at his feet and love him. You are going to remember everything, and it's stored on the hard drive of your life, which is the spirit that is in you. And God is going to return that spirit to you someday, whether it's after 8 hours of sleep or after being dead for 1,000 years. Sarah again. And in the morning, God rouses me and I come back. If he can bring me back from nothingness every morning, then certainly he can do it after the sleep of death too. And she finishes this way, which really does touch my heart. Just so you know, even though we've never officially met, I love you. Thank you for encouraging me every week. Also, thanks for listening to my ramble. Sorry this ended up getting so long. Don't ever apologize, any of you, for anything getting too long. Write me. Sometimes I'm a little slow getting back with you. I love hearing from you. Tell me you're listening to the show. I thought I was going to get to Kristen's letter here. I won't get to it today. I want you to look forward to that tomorrow, because on the heels of Sarah's letter here, Kristen wrote and had a lot of good things to say about the camaraderie she feels with other members of the body of Christ, who she doesn't even know in the flesh, but in spirit, there is so much similarity, so much fellowship. All right, tomorrow we're going to look more into this truth of death, near-death experiences. I'm going to read another letter tomorrow. You're going to be blessed. You're a part of this. You're a part of all these people seeking out God and finding him.